Thank you.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen.
There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God.
O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. Of quiet rest near to the heart of God.
Amen. Amen.
Encore.
Thank you so much, Sister Sharon, for you filling in at the last minute. We really didn't know what to expect this morning. Brenda talked about maybe being here, and then, of course, things are picking up at the hospital, so she couldn't pull away. And it's just such a blessing to have Sister Sharon fill in. And she'll be traveling here this coming week, Sunday, and so pray for her as well. They're expecting a grandchild as well, so pray for her as she travels. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I really hope that I'm causing you to meditate on this passage, to spend some time thinking about your own spiritual condition. I know sometimes it's a poor habit of ours just to go to church, and then when the service is over, that's the last that you give any thought to the passage that was read. And I hope and pray that that's not the case here. I've been a pastor for quite some time, and I can tell you that if there's one thing our church needs now is a reviving. It's evident that there has been an attack. Some have kind of even drifted away. Our attendance has kind of ebbed a little bit. We're not seeing new faces like we should be seeing. And some are just apparently stagnant. When it comes to spiritual things, though, you really aren't stagnant. If you're not growing, then you're declining. And I hope and pray that God will speak to us. I'm glad our Lord's alive. He's resurrected from the dead. He's with us today.
Amen.
He loves us. He wants a closer walk with us. He wants us to listen to Him and obey Him. And I hope that you will just respond to the Lord. That's not responding to me. I'm nothing. It's not Brother Bruce or anybody else that would stand up here. It's not Brother Joey that will be coming. It's really, what are you doing with Christ? And are you listening to Christ? Are you allowing Christ to have His way in your life? And I want to strongly urge us to be praying toward that end, that God would just have His way in us. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14, and we've looked at this again, but I want to try to draw your attention to the little phrase, "and pray." And pray. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We do ask, God, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice. Lord, when it comes to the subject of prayer, Lord, most of us see a need in our life of growing and becoming more like Jesus in this area. And Lord, we ask you for your help and for your grace. We ask that you would teach us to pray. Lord, I pray that you would especially allow the Spirit of God to deal with us about praying earnestly for the upcoming meeting. Lord, that you would have your way in the services, that souls would be saved, that our Christian family here, church family, would be stirred and would respond to you and would receive a reviving. Lord, we ask that you would defeat the workings of the devil. And we pray, God, that in this place you might be glorified and honored. Lord, please help me to say what I ought to say this morning. Keep me back from saying things that will not benefit or help someone today or get the message across. But Lord, use me, please, to share your word and to help us in our relationship with you. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for what you have done and will do in this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I've said we've tried to give some special attention to the subject of spiritual renewal or revival. If a nation ever needed revival, our nation does. Some of you may be rejoicing about the current presidential race. Some may be grieved about it. The truth is, we need Christ. We need the Lord Jesus as a nation. And the evidence points to us turning further and further away from Christ. Not coming closer and closer to our Lord, but turning further and further away from the Lord. And so instead of honoring Him as a nation, people in position of power and authority hate him. It's obvious that there is a hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of promoting Christ in the world, they're doing their best to mock and discourage that, especially here in America, which concerns me. It concerns me everywhere, but especially here where God has placed us to labor. So, and we see it on every hand. Instead of encouraging our children to learn, to study, become educated, instead of teaching them how to think, they try to teach them what to think. We don't need our children indoctrinated. We just need them to be taught how to read and do their math and teach them other things that would be helpful. Don't corrupt their minds. I think as a citizen that they are to remove all sex education from schools and let mom and dad take care of that.
Amen.
They've used that to corrupt our children, put in them things that in their minds so early that causes them to go astray from God. Not only that, but instead of promoting the protection of the unborn, you saw it in this last election. We barely, as a state, we barely defeated the amendment that would allow abortion in Florida. And so, by barely defeating that, it should cause us to be alarmed. I don't know if you've saw some of the response to us defeating the effort to pass that abortion amendment in our Florida Constitution, but it's vile. They hate the fact that they were not allowed to continue to slaughter little children. And the only reason I mention this is not to bash anybody, but just to cause us to stop and think about the true spiritual condition of our nation. And hopefully motivate us to say, we are in a desperate need and we need Christ, so that as His people, we would cry out to Him that He would come and aid us and help us to triumph His cause in Florida and in the world. I want Jesus to be lifted up. I want Him to be honored. As a nation, we need to get back to where we adore God. We worship God. Amen. Instead of being hateful towards Him. This is a difficulty that we all have to face. And we think that our little lives don't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter what I do. There are all these people in the world. I can't make much of a difference. The truth is, according to the Bible, you can make a difference in the world. Your life is powerful if it's yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to use you. And we see that certainly in the life of our Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
One man, the God-man, came into this world and transformed the world by the life that He lived. One single man. The God-man, the Lord Jesus. There have been other great men and women that's influenced the nation to think a certain way or to move to a certain point. And the only reason I'm mentioning that to you is because God wants to use you. Jesus was an example. His single life transformed the world. And by the way, that life saved me. It saved me from my sin. It saved me from hell, eternity in hell. And I can't thank Him enough. Amen?
Amen.
But what did our Lord say? Not only was He an example of this, but what did He teach us? He used a parable in Matthew chapter 13. Look at verses 31 and 32. Talking about prayer, but I want you to see that your prayers can make a difference. That God wants to use this church. I could say that to any church. Couldn't you say that to any church?
Yes.
I could say that to any people, and it would be biblically true and sound. God wants to use you. God wants to use this church. God would love to show up in Jacksonville at Faith Chapel and do a great work in our lives, and not just here, but reach our community, that the light of Christ would shine brightly because of what God is doing here. In Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 31 and 32. Jesus is talking about the parable of the kingdom, and He said this: another parable put He, Jesus, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Verse 32. Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Jesus said, take a little tiny mustard seed and look what could take place just with a little tiny seed. Our thought is, I'm nothing. My life don't count. Let me tell you something. That's from the devil. There's no telling what God could do with men and women who would surrender fully to Christ. Jesus would give another parable in that same section of Scripture, verse 33. Another parable spake He unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. So taking a little bit of leaven and put it in bread. See how it affects the bread. Here, leaven is not about sin. See how this affects bread. God wants to use you to affect the world. He wants to use the church to influence the world. But you and I have to be right with God. We have to be men and women of faith, expecting God to save the lost, build His church, and glorify the name of His Son. It's more than just coming and sitting in a church pew. Amen. God is saying through His Word, I want to use you. Let me remind you what Brother R.A. Torrey said when he gave the recipe for revival. He said, first, let a few Christians, they need not be many. I'm going to talk to Brother Tom after the church service. He doesn't have to say, Lord, though we're small in number. It don't matter what the number is. What did Jesus say? Two or three are gathered together. Jesus and you are a majority. You know what? He needs people who would work with Him for His cause. And some of you have got great opportunities to work with Him privately in your closet of prayer, pleading with God that He would awaken America to their sin and their need of Christ and His righteousness. If anything's lacking in our day, it's prayer. He said, they need not be many. Get thoroughly right with God. How many of you have dealt with any sins in your life recently? Brother Bruce has pressed the men to deal with the sin of being loose in our eating habits. Being careless about what we eat, how it affects our life. Eating too much. You know that's recorded in the Bible as well. Gluttony. And we think about sin, we think about adultery and other pornography and other things like that. Could it be that what's rottening the church is these things that we're ignoring, though we know we shouldn't be ignoring those things? Get thoroughly right with God themselves. And then he concludes that first point by saying this is the prime essential. If you will not get right with God, mark out everything else found in that verse. You say, preacher, I can fast. I'll humble myself. I'll pray. I'll try to seek God. But I'm just not going to turn from my wicked ways, then forget the promise. You're not going to experience revival. God is not going to change America. We're not going to see a movement of God in our church. You're not going to see a movement of God in your own heart if you're unwilling to deal with your sin. If I'm unwilling to deal with my sin, no revival will come to me, right? Secondly, he said this. Let them bind themselves together in prayer groups to pray for revival. Listen, until God opens heaven and comes down. That means not just praying on Wednesday night. That means getting together when we get together. Every time we get together. And I don't think that's the burden that's on us right now. It should be on us. But it's not the first thing that we mention when we meet. Look at what's going on among our men. Look at what's going on in our church. Look at what Satan is trying to do. And God, send revival. We need you to stir us and move in your church. And don't stop doing that until God opens heaven and comes down. Wouldn't you love to see that? Well, guess what that's going to take? Consistent, persistent praying. Amen. And faith, believing. I think one of our problems is we all believe that the return of Christ is at hand. I believe that. But let me warn you about something. We have no idea when that's going to be. It could be today, and I say to that, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come now. Come at this very moment. Take us home to be with you. He's the only one that can make this world right. I can't wait till he sits on the throne and he rules the world. I can't wait. But guess what? It might not be till 100 years from now.
Amen.
And can I say something to you? What he might be wanting us to do now is getting on our face begging him for revival. Getting together and saying, no, that was a good service, but that's not what we want. That's not what we're wanting. We want God to show up. We want God to meet with us. We want the lost to be saved. So that brings us to our verse again. It's the second point when you read the text. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. But it's really not a single point. There's not four points, four things that God is requiring of us. There's really one thing that God is saying in this verse. Sometimes we look at a little list and we think, okay, one, two, I got three now and I'll work on four. That's not really what God's saying when he gives this verse to us. The people of their day were going after false gods. They were living in open sin. Solomon said, this is going to be the danger. Remember, even Solomon faced it. This is going to be the danger. If they go into captivity, if they turn their back on you, God, if they'll do this, will you restore them? Will you revive them? And the answer from God is, I will. By the way, I believe that answer is for us today as well. I believe God will, if we would meet the condition that's found here. What is the condition? To seek his face and to get right with him. Notice what this requirement is. It talks about prayer and pray. When we say and pray, I think there's often a slight misunderstanding. Because we think that we can pray and that God will do certain things because we pray. And let me tell you something. If the condition of our heart is not right, it doesn't matter what we pray or how we pray or how short or how long we pray. None of that will matter. Could you imagine if we come to this text and we say, well, Lord, I don't really see where I need to humble in any area. I wrote a book on humility, and you know, I'm an expert on that. I don't want to get that old song in y'all's mind. I don't need to humble myself. And you know, Lord, I there's no really no wickedness I need to turn from. As far as I know, all these other things. And so if I omit this one thing, does that really matter? And God said, yes, it all ties together. If you don't have a heart that's right with God, you don't have a prayer path to God. You cut off the lines that go to heaven. You can't get a hold of God if there's known sin in your life. Which, by the way, sin should be the most fearful thing that you and I can think of. Lord, there's something in my life where I can't get a hold of you. That's a dangerous thought, isn't it? So it's not just four little things. He's saying, I want you to get right with me. Get God's help. I mentioned in the first message when we talked about this, remember I went to point four first. Y'all remember that? The first time we looked at this verse together, I went to and turn from your wicked ways. Why? Because if I don't, nothing else matters. Do you know there are people in the Bible that they worship false gods and they called on the name of the Lord as well? You know how God felt about that? Read Isaiah chapter 1. He said, I don't want any more sacrifices. Don't shed any more blood. You are corrupt from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Wash yourselves. Get clean. Stop your sin. Get right with me. Then I'll start listening to you. You can read it in Isaiah 1 yourself. Amen? So what is he doing? I think this is the important part about prayer. Everything in your life matters when it comes to prayer. You know why prayer sometimes is difficult? You know what why prayer sometimes is difficult? Because we have some other issues that are not right with God yet. Is that true or not?
No.
Think about this. Think about prayer and humility. How important is it that when you pray, you have a truly humble heart? Humble men and women are men and women who can truly pray. Humble men and women are men and women who can really get a hold of God. Prideful people, God will not listen to. By the way, one of the reasons that we don't pray as we ought to pray is because we're too prideful. You know what I mean by that? If we really realized how much we needed God, we would be praying more and we wouldn't have to be begged to pray. We would say, God, without you, I don't have no hope. I don't have no help. I don't have no answer. I don't have no way. I cannot do it. I need you. And listen, we'd be doing that about everything. I'm sad to admit this myself, but sometimes I've treated God as a spare tire. Have you done that? Where you just be going along life fine, not really praying about much, just going along life fine, and all of a sudden, you get out, and you see the tires flat, and you think, what am I going to do? And you say, oh, that's right, I have a spare tire. Never think about that spare tire until you get a flat. By the way, how many of you ever went to get your spare tire and found out that it was flat? You ever had that experience? That proves we were giving no attention to it. How do I know that? You can ask me later. Sadly, that's how we treat God, though. Pride is our biggest hindrance to prayer. If we were really humble, as we ought to be humble, we would address everything in prayer. We would address every issue in prayer. We would ask God for everything that we're dealing with. The phone rings, we would say, God, I don't have an answer. I don't know what to do or say. Please help me. Someone says, Pastor, can I get some advice? The first thing we do is say in our heart, God, I don't have no wisdom. I can't help them. You're going to have to tell me what to say. And we'd be praying constantly. And the fact that we're not praying constantly means that most of our life we can handle pretty well. So no wonder Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We've got to get right with God in every area of our life. Prayer is the biggest hindrance. Remember in Luke chapter 18, Jesus gave a New Testament example of this. And by the way, it's kind of shocking. In Luke chapter 18, here's two men in church and they're praying. You remember the story? And Jesus said, I want to tell you about these two men. One was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man. And one was a publican, a tax collector. Most likely a thief. You go to Brother Lewis and say, Brother Lewis, you owe the Roman government 5 golden coins, and he only owed 2, and he would put the other in his pocket and give Rome the 2. That's why they were so despised. They were considered traitors. 2 men went, in verse 10, 2 men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Notice, the Pharisee stood. You can pray standing up. Brenda and them used to sing a song, standing tall or on my knees. You can pray on your knees. You can pray flat on the face, your floor on the face, on the dirt. You can pray like that. But here, the point is, you religious people, look at me. Can't you see that in this verse? Stood, prayed thus. Notice these words. Who did he pray to? With himself. You catch that? Yeah. 2 men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now you can read some different translations, and I think they messed this up. I think it's saying exactly the way it ought to be said. He wasn't talking to anybody but himself.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You can pray. How many of y'all know that other religions pray?
Yeah.
Muslims are required to pray 5 times a day. And when they pray, they say this same little prayer. So it's just about going at this point in time, saying these words, and as far as they're concerned, they pray. And I ask you something, is that genuine, true prayer? No, it's not. Prayed with himself. Basically, they're praying with themselves. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, if you're trying to get a hold of God, and you're trying, and you don't go through the Son, can I say something? S-O-N. You're not going to get the ear of God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hear what the Lord said? If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. I will answer you. Jesus will answer you. Amen?
Amen.
He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I tithe of all that I possess. In 2 verses, he mentions the personal pronoun I 5 times. Now, it's not wrong to say, Lord, I have sinned. It's not wrong to say, Lord, I need help. It's not wrong to say, Lord, have mercy on me. But it is wrong to read off a list and say, Lord, see all my good things? Notice the humble prayer of the publican. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. James said this in James 4:6, God resisteth the proud. You say, preacher, I'm not getting my prayers answered. It doesn't seem like God is responding. It seems to be a barrier there. Could it be that God is saying, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I'm saying we can't just pray and think because we're praying, God is going to respond to our request. Because if I'm praying and I'm prideful, If I'm praying and there's known sin, open rebellion in my life, if I know I'm doing something that God has said to me I ought not to do, or I'm not doing something that I know I should be doing, I can't count on God answering me until I deal with that. Remember Psalm 66, verse 18. You should mark this in your Bible. I know it's not one of those, I am with you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it's an important verse. Psalm 66, 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God always hears me, preacher. He may hear your words, but he may not take up your request. Y'all ever hear it on the news at the Supreme Court? And the question is, will they hear the case? And sometimes the answer comes from the Supreme Court, no, we will not hear the case because you don't have standing. You're not a part of the situation. You're not involved in it. You just want to come and argue. You don't have standing. We're not even going to hear your argument. Remember, Isaiah tells us the same thing. We'll not go there to Isaiah, but Isaiah said the same thing. God's hand's not shortened. His ear's not heavy. Your God still hears prayer. Listen to me, 66:18, Psalm 6. Your God still hears prayer. He still answers prayer. He loves answering prayer. He wants to answer prayer. It demonstrates that he's the only living, true God. Answered prayer does that. But he's not going to answer us until we deal with our sin. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says this. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. You say, preacher, I thought sacrifices in the Old Testament were a wonderful thing to the Lord. I thought that's what the Lord required. I thought that was commanded. He said, no, if you've got sin in your heart and you bring a sacrifice and it's not dealing with that sin, I want to throw up. I hate it. It's hard for us to envision such a loving God having such anger towards something, but that's what God said. Amen. Proverbs 15 verse 29 goes on to say this, the Lord is far from the wicked. Well, let me finish verse 8. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. When my children were small, let me tell you something, even now, even though they're grown and they have their own children, even now, if they come and say something like, Dad, could you... You know my first response usually is?
Yes.
Whatever, it doesn't really matter what the request is. Yes.
Yes.
Brenda, on the other hand, hers still no. Hers is still no. I delight in helping them. I love giving them what they need. The joy of being a grandparent is giving those children what, sometimes they need a spanking, by the way, giving them what they need. Don't you love doing that? You know someone has really, it's a real need. It's a real need. Don't you love meeting that need? Isn't it a blessing to meet that need? And if we're evil and we get that kind of blessing out of meeting the needs of others, that should tell you something about our God. We're creating His image, right? He loves answering prayer. If I'm not getting prayers answered, it's not God's fault. There's something in me, and maybe I'm not really trusting Him. I don't believe He's going to do it. If I don't believe He's going to do it, am I going to get it, the answer? No. Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked. I told y'all this, Brother Bruce said one time, Christians can do wicked things. When he said that, I thought, that ain't right. Christians don't do wicked things. Bruce, what are you talking about? Y'all ever do that when I say something? Brother Tommy, what in the world are you talking about? And then when I looked into it, I said, you know what? He's right. The Lord is far from the wicked. Listen to this, though. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Why is it important that I live a clean life? Why is it important that I honor God? I live a holy life. Because if I don't live right, I'm cut off my access to the ear of God. And if I don't live right, Jesus doesn't get the glory he deserves. And if I don't live right, no revival will ever come to me, to my family, to my church. We just started a Sunday school study. And by the way, if you're not attending Sunday school, I want to strongly urge you to attend Sunday school. We have an adult Sunday school class. So every adult here should be in the adult Sunday school class if you're not teaching a class yourself. How many of y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. I thought I might get Brother Phil. He was teaching the class for a while, and he said, Brother Tommy, they're just not coming. I think you should take it over. I said, Brother Phil, if I take it over, it won't change. It's not you. It's not how you teach. That's not why they're not coming. They're not coming for another reason. I don't know where that was in my notes there. Oh, Joshua. So they're going through, they defeat Jericho, they come up against a little tiny Ai, and they lose the battle. And Joshua starts praying, say, God, you said you'd be with us, you said you'd fight for us, you said we wouldn't lose. We're in a terrible spot here. We lost. Everybody's going to think they can come and just destroy us. What's going on? God said, stop praying. Is that what he said? He did. He said, you might as well be quiet. Get up, deal with the sin. And if you deal with the sin, then I'll show up. I'll fight the enemies. I'll give you victory. You see how much sin hinders you? It hinders God giving revival. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away from his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. That's Proverbs 28, 9. If I turn my ear away, here's what God wants. I'm not going to do that. Lord, send revival. Lord, pour out your blessings. Lord, meet with your people. And God said, you're making me sick. You're refusing to do what I'm telling you, but you still want the blessing. How many of y'all know that doesn't work? Right. What am I trying to get across to you earnestly this morning is this. In prayer, we are seeking God's face. You see, there are other religions that pray, but they're not praying to the God of the Bible. When you and I get along with God, we're seeking a personal relationship. We're seeking His personal presence. That's what Solomon was talking about. Humble yourselves and pray and seek the personal presence of Yahweh. Amen. Meet with your God. And if you do that, God said, what? I will hear. You notice? Humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. And then God says, I'll answer you. I'll answer you. I'll hear. I'll give. I'll heal. That's the same promise we have today. Prayer is more than just getting on your face and saying some words and mentioning a few people's names and asking God to heal them. You have to be right with God to really pray. You got to deal with your sin to really pray. You know what James said this way in James chapter 5? He said, confess your faults one to another. Preacher, when can we expect really having a revival? You can expect to have revival when people start getting honest about their sin.
Right.
And they start saying, hey, let me, I got to talk to you about something. I'm struggling with this sin. I need some help. You know, people who are humble confess. You don't have to tell me your sin. You don't have to go to a priest to tell him your sin. But people who want revival, guess what they'll do? They'll start admitting, hey, there's something wrong in my life. It's not just their life. There's something wrong in my life, and I need God to help me. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of an unrighteous man, of a righteous man, availeth much. He said, that prophet was just like you and I. He put his pants on one leg at a time. He faced problems and difficulties. He had weaknesses. He was in the flesh just like you are. But he prayed, and God would not let it rain for 3.5 years. What would God do if a church or Christian, a few Christians? Don't you think there's enough in this church among us, just a few Christians? It doesn't have to be everybody, but if it's just a few, if thoroughly right with God and we committed to pray earnestly, God, show up. You know what I don't want to happen? I'm being serious. I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to come to the end of 2025 and we've not grown much at all. I'd rather come to the end of 2025 and there'll be a whole new number of people here. Y'all here as well, but a whole other group of people here filling up this side as well who've come to faith in Christ. And see God moving and working in people's lives and seeing people get saved and get right with God. And God certainly can do that. Listen to me. He's done it a million times before. He's doing it even now in our day. But it needs some of us to get serious about being what He wants us to be. Amen? And pray. And pray. And pray. Until God opens the windows of heaven and comes down. You say, preacher, what is that like? When you want to know, when you love to know, when you want to be there, when He comes down. Let me tell you something. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. The first step is coming to this altar and saying, Lord, I must have you as my Savior. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. And if you'll come this morning, Jesus will save you. You don't even have to come to this altar. If you would cry out to God and trust Christ as your Savior, God will save you exactly where you're at. Amen?
Amen.
Be saved today. Christians, you want revival? You know, you could have revival without me. You can have revival without Brother Joey. If we just do what God said. Amen? Because He always keeps His word.
Amen.
Let's stand. Our Father in heaven, thank You for the day. Lord, I know that what You really want is a people that really want You. That crave fellowship with You. They don't walk by the closet, prayer closet, morning after morning. But those that get up in the morning can't wait to get along with you. Lord, we've all struggled with this. We've all had problems. Grow us, Lord, to a place that we're like Christ. Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for my own personal prayerlessness. Help me, Lord, to grow in this area. Lord, send revival to our church. Lord, send revival to my own heart. If there's anything in my life, God, that needs to change, Lord, help me to acknowledge it, to confess it, Lord, to forsake it. Lord, help us in this invitation, God. You know who you've spoken to. You know what you want them to do. We pray, God, that you just help us to do it. Help us to be obedient. Well, thank you for what you do this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a hymn book. Turn to page 505. Page 505. If you need to come for prayer, please do that right away.